Reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in the chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word this morning.
Thank you, Liz. Some of you may have noticed over the last few weeks that I had the exact same prayer there, the Wesley's prayer that I've been using during this series on good deeds. And I did that for a reason. You know, if you ever read through that prayer, you can see how Mr. Wesley is basically saying to God, whatever, just use me in whatever way you can use me. What a powerful prayer it is, whether in plenty or want, to do or to not to do. But whatever it is, God, just use me to do your will. And I thought it very appropriate in light of this series that I was doing. For those of you who just come in, I know in the summertime, a lot of you come in for a week or two, and I typically don't do series, but I kind of started at the beginning and thought I'm going to just get this thing through here in the summer. I just wanted, again, like I've done every week, to set the stage for why I did the series on good deeds. You know, in the traditional, in the Orthodox, in the evangelical church of Jesus Christ, we emphasize so much the truth of God's word, and that truth shared with us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that in essence, God has saved us by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And that is absolutely and unequivocally true. We are not saved by good works. But because we preach that so often, we oftentimes neglect why we do what we do as Christians. And as I've shared with everybody several times already through this whole series, I only really need one reason the whole matter of good works, and that is this. I am grateful to God and Jesus Christ that He died on the cross and rose again for me, a sinner, and saved me. And so that's enough for me to say that's all I need to know. It's gratitude is why I do want to do what I do, not always so well, but try to do for God what I can do. But what good are good deeds is what I've been doing over these 5 weeks, and it was based on an article. I want to give acknowledgement where it's due. I read an article by a Dr. Mascala at Andrews University. It was just a one-page article on good deeds and what good are they for us in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you the first four as I go to the last one so you know where we came from. The first three really deal with the matter of the good deeds that we do are not for our own sake, but for the sake of others. And in the first one, this was the reason. Our good deeds, our good works, aren't important for our salvation, but they're crucial for the salvation of others. As they see our life lived in a way that brings honor and glory to God, perhaps they become curious about that salvation that we have in Christ. Number two was our good deeds or good works reveal the quality of our relationship with God. Because can't you just see how the world up there is looking at us? And if we're not doing much for Him, what kind of an attraction is that to the faith that we share in Jesus Christ. So good deeds reveal the quality of our relationship with God. And the more that we do for Him, the more that people were drawn to the same Jesus Christ whom we serve. Third reason, our good deeds make glorifying God contagious. Think about that. Our good deeds make glorifying God contagious. It is a draw for those who don't know Christ. The last one we did last week, number four, was our good deeds are important for growing in and maintaining our relationship with Jesus Christ. As we live our life and grow closer and closer to Him, as we live it out by the way we live for others as well. A verse like, whatever you've done to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me, is a verse that would come to mind when we talk about that. Now, here's the fifth reason, and the one I want to share this morning. Good deeds bring a deep satisfaction and joy to those who do them. See, the last two deal with more, I guess, ourselves. I almost hate to deal with that. It sounds kind of selfish, but good deeds do have some kind of an impact on us, our relationship with Christ and the satisfaction that we enjoy in Him. Now, I would say to you, and I think you'd probably agree with me, any good deed, at least temporarily, brings satisfaction and joy, doesn't it? Anytime you do something good, even if it's a selfish reason for doing so, anytime we do something, a good deed, it does give some sense of satisfaction. I want to go deeper than that this morning, but I'm acknowledging that, as a general rule, whether you are a believer or not a believer, that there is some sense in which doing a good deed brings satisfaction and joy. The problem is many good deeds, that is, for those of us who live in Jesus Christ, many good deeds are done to give myself a boost, a high, a good feeling, a pat on the back. So many times when you and I do the good things that we do, it's because, you know what? It's going to make me feel better. We sometimes even think beforehand when we do it, I'm wondering what kind of a benefit I can receive by doing this good deed to someone else. It's temporal. Satisfaction may come, but it's not going to be the kind of satisfaction God says He really has for us, the deeper satisfaction. You know, there are many noble reasons for doing good. But there's only one that has eternal value to the doer of the deed. And that's when what we do for God. What we do because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. What we do because we are grateful for salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, Scripture makes very clear to us what truly brings satisfaction and joy. From Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, it states, "But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." What is that verse really saying? As I mentioned just briefly a moment ago, we oftentimes are analyzing whether we should do the deed or not do the deed. We're basing it on, to some degree, you know, what's going to be the outcome of this? Is there maybe a material gain from doing this deed? Is there maybe a higher status in the church because I did that thing and people are going to notice that I did it? You know, what am I thinking when I do the deed? There's some thinking that goes on there. And in Matthew 6:3, it's basically just saying, I'm doing it because God wants me to do it. And my left hand doesn't need to know what my right hand is doing. It's just spontaneous. It comes from my heart. It doesn't come from pre-thinking. It doesn't come from pre-analyzing. It doesn't come from anything like that. It's just my heart says, you know, God, you love me so much and I love you so much and I'm going to do whatever I do for another and it doesn't matter. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to do it. Consequences be what they may, and sometimes consequences aren't good. Sometimes the consequences are a little bit difficult. Well, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do just because I love you. Verse 2 of that same text, if you go a verse earlier than that, it says that we shouldn't announce what we do with fanfare. and we do that good deed. Good deeds should not be done with the need for adulation, with the need for credit, or anything like that. It's done. And God knows it's done. And when we do it in that kind of a context, who is it that ultimately is receiving the glory? God is. Not me. God is. Because if I'm doing it because I want to do it, and I'm seeing that I can receive some kind of a benefit from it, the reward or the blessing is in that moment and that moment alone. Like I told you before, any good deed that we do can bring satisfaction and joy. But in the context outside of bringing glory to God, it's temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary. Why is this important? You see, when I take center stage, where's God? When I take center stage, where's God in that? God doesn't receive the glory when I'm taking center stage. But when I remove myself from center stage, who gets the glory? God does. I have to remind myself of that often because you know what my default drive is? I think it's the same default drive you have. It's me. Self. And I have to remind myself from time to time that I am His and He is mine, and I love Him and I'm grateful to Him. And so when I do the things I do, I need to try to do the things I do for His glory and His glory alone. I don't want to take center stage, but boy, it's so easy to stick myself on the throne. It's important that we put God there. When we do what we do it for Him. When it doesn't matter to me who gets the credit, then pride and envy are never an issue. Right? When it doesn't matter to me who gets the credit, pride and envy are no longer an issue. How many times, and if you'd be honest with yourself this morning, every single one of you would raise your hand. How many times, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, boy, I wish I thought of doing that. Because, boy, that would be really cool to do, and I'd really feel something from that. You know what? If that was the motive behind it, you lost what God wants us to get from that. When it doesn't matter to me who gets the credit, and pride or envy is never... We'd never have barking in the church if we all had that attitude, would we? You know, those of you who are visiting with us, you have barkers in the church too, aren't you? You're a barker sometimes, maybe even. But if we don't care who gets the credit, in fact, the only thing I care about, hopefully, is that God gets the credit. Whenever we do what we do. When we're taken out of the way, people can see God more clearly through us. You see, if we're taken out of the way, then they can't see God. If we're not taken out of the way, who do they see? They see us. Right? When we take ourselves out of the way and we remove ourselves as much as we can from that, then who gets the glory? Who do they see? They see Christ in us. They see God in us. And so the good deed that we do brings a deep satisfaction. See, there's the key in that fifth reason. It's the word deep. Lasting. Eternal. That's the key in that fifth reason. Good deeds can give anyone joy and satisfaction for a moment, for a season, whatever it might be. But the only way that we can have deep satisfaction and deep joy in eternal joy is when God gets the glory, when God gets the credit for all that we do. That's important. But we live in a competitive world, don't we? Sometimes we even live in a competitive church. And that's why I wanted to share with you this morning from Philippians chapter 1. Paul, who's in prison, and he sees what's going on in the Church of Jesus Christ, and he realizes there are some that are preaching the gospel out of envy, selfishness, self-adulation. There are others that are doing it for the right reason. They're really wanting to give God the glory. But Paul even says, you know what? As long as Christ is being preached, whether from right or wrong reasons, you know, he's still, some good is coming from that. There's still something that good that comes from that. And even though you and I sometimes may be doing what we do for the wrong reasons, it's amazing how God can even take our foibles and our messes and still make something good out of that. But that doesn't excuse us. And Paul's even saying, I want us all to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for all the right reasons. To bring glory to the one who saved us from ourselves. To give glory to the one who saved us from our sin. That's really what we need to do. You know, that competition took place in the Philippian church. Things aren't always done with the purpose of a godly purpose. Sometimes they're done for selfish reasons, but God even uses the ungodly. God even uses the selfish sometimes. I think that's kind of cool. God even uses us when we aren't fully intent on giving Him glory, honor, and praise. He can even use our impure motives. But in that being said, remember the fifth reason where I talked about deep satisfaction, deep joy? We won't have it when our motives are impure. Good things may still happen, but we won't have that deep satisfaction and that deep joy when I do it with wrong motives, with impure motives. Eternal benefit can come maybe even from selfish motives, but it oftentimes brings the opposite. People can see right through us. Paul sees God working with imperfect motives, and Paul sees God working with pure motives. Do you, though, and I, as I close this morning, do you want deep satisfaction and joy? Not just temporary, not that just fly-by-night kind of satisfaction and joy that comes for a moment and then leaves us. And I encourage us to leave the rat race of proving yourself. We spend way too much time trying to prove ourselves. Way too much time trying to prove to someone else that, well, I'm a Christian too, and I'm doing some pretty good stuff for Him. We've got it all wrong when we think that way. Leave that rat race. Join the chorus of those who only want to give glory and honor and praise to God. Amen. I'm not always in that chorus, I'll confess. Sometimes I'm over here on the other side. But I want to spend a lot more time over here. The chorus that only wants to give glory and honor and praise to God. And I ask that God would make it clear to me when I'm not doing that, when I'm singing off key, as it were. Help me, God, to give glory only to You. You know, we won't get it until we get it. You get what I'm saying? We won't get it, that is that deep satisfaction and that deep joy, until we get it. That is, that it's all about Him. It's not about me. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Let's turn in closing to our last hymn, Living for Jesus.